while vague, it could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Steve!
Hey, how you going?
I'm good. I'm good. I must say I'm enjoying the weather and things are looking up. I hear movies, the cinema, is going to open potentially around the 3rd of December.
Yes, yeah, so I've seen some session times are up now. Reading has got their times up. I am refreshing Event Cinema's IMAX page and June page about every 10 minutes.
Yes.
See what happens there and to get tickets immediately. Event Cinema has actually just posted on Facebook earlier today saying that they are opening and basically a bit of a watch this space kind of post.
Hey, Steve, just on the June tip, something which I just found out the other day, it's done by the guy that did Blade Runner 2049. And I thought Blade Runner 2049 was awesome. So my hopes are quite high.
It's my pleasure to first of all say that your opinion is correct, objectively correct. The world building in that film in particular is, and the respect that was which it treats its audience all bode really well for June. I was lucky enough to get along to a bit of it, like a kind of short sneak preview of June before this Delta lockdown, and they played us the first 10 minutes on IMAX, and it knocked my socks off. I never will do anything illegal, but in the case of June, I've been a very good boy, not like some people out there, and I've held off any temptation to cheat the system. With this film, I'm just hanging out to see it on IMAX as soon as possible. So, ideally, that will be December 3rd, which is that's when events open. That's when everyone opens.
A nice one.
I would imagine that there's probably, from my understanding of the COVID protection framework, my understanding that there'd be like a capacity max of 100 in cinemas. In many cases that's more tickets than they sell to some sessions anyway.
Yeah, totally.
Not for big blockbuster, obviously, but it'll just be nice to get back in there. And on a day like today, which, as you say, the weather is awesome, I was thinking a bit earlier about the upcoming film festival In the Shade and how they've sort of framed a January film festival as being something that you can look forward to after a day at the beach, getting into some aircon. And I could do it with some aircon. So, sort of into doing all of the above.
And one of those ice creams you can get at the movies? Yes!
I mean, who knows? Hopefully have they cleaned the popcorn machines? who can say? Let's just say I'm itching to get back and to see some stuff. I mean, the backlog of films is pretty booty.
Yes.
The Bond was probably the biggest delayed casualty of COVID. No Time to Die, but we'll get a chance to see that.
What's the general consensus on the new Bond? Are reports positive?
I mean, I actually haven't paid any freaking attention, which is probably a huge professional oversight. But with some of these event films, it's just like, I just sort of felt like, why read about something that I'm stuck at home and can't see? So I'm kind of keeping my head down. I think that from what I kind of have grazed across, positive reviews, maybe keep your expectations tempered a little bit by just knowing what a Bond movie actually is.
Totally.
In the 21st century. There'll be plenty of stuff to see and... I'm looking forward to that aircon. I'm looking forward to that June. I'm looking forward to seeing the first 10 minutes again and then the whole bloody rest of it.
New Spider-Man as well. Goodness me.
New Spider-Man, Venom. Venom was, Tom Hardy was kind of maybe a little overlooked a couple of years ago. It's a wonderfully stupid movie. But his performance in that's pretty committed and hilarious and looks like it's going to be the same in the sequel, Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
I really enjoy Woody Harrelson when I catch him on screen as well. So he's a Venom's enemy, I suppose.
Totally.
Carnage, that's his name.
maybe he'll be channeling some of that energy he brought to Curb Your Enthusiasm last week, where he was in some memorable scenes involving a Ku Klux Klan member. Oh, comedy.
Man, cringy.
Oh, yeah. What I've been watching this week is a new show that arrives on Netflix later this evening called True Story. This is, confusingly, it's not a true story. This is a thriller drama starring comedian Kevin Hart, who plays a, wait for it, extremely successful comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those, this character in the show is one of those guys that, like Kevin Hart in real life, plays arenas and stadiums as a stand-up, has a big movie career. And returning to his hometown of Philly for some shows, he catches up with his brother for a night out. So his brother's played by the amazing Wesley Snipes, which was probably the main reason I actually started, got keen to check this thing out. And it's one of those tales where things go a bit wrong, and then a lot wrong, and then these guys are just trying to dig themselves out of the shit for a whole run of episodes.
Would I be wrong in comparing the trailer I watched to a, kind of like an Entourage episode where someone's career is being sabotaged by like a family member and or their mates?
Yeah, I think that what this is trying to do is this is not comedic at all. I mean, there's a few laugh out loud moments. There's a scene where Hart's character is interrupted by a fan in first class on the plane who tells him, like all fans do, that he's his biggest fan, and then starts to do his bits back to him. Most memorably in this instance, because the dude's an annoying white guy who does a routine about the 50 different meanings of the N-word back to Kevin Hart's face.
Damn it.
That was quite painfully amusing. But no, it's not really like a satire on showbiz or... And I kind of felt that quite pleasant, actually. It's sort of not really a huge woe-is-me factor to the story. Although, you know, it definitely kind of shows what the experience of being a touring successful entertainer must be like. Hotel life, and he tours with a manager, a bodyguard, someone that's punching up his jokes for him. But... it doesn't really examine the showbiz life so much. It's more how would a very famous person dig themselves out of a career-ending situation.
Yes.
Which, as you can tell, I'm kind of dancing around trying not to spoil too much of the show. That's fine in this, but really, like I said before, it's sort of Wesley Snipes' presence that got me really excited, and it's just so great to see him back doing good stuff again. I think after Dolomite Is My Name, it's been great to have him back on the screen.
Excellent. All right.
So yeah, we're checking this out. This is a 7-part series. The opening episode's an hour-ish, and then the rest of the eps are about half an hour. So this is going to be a pretty easy one to
crack out through
in the next few days. Before we wrap up, I'll just quickly mention that the other thing I haven't quite gotten around to, will be available to watch on TVNZ On Demand from this Friday, is a documentary series called Scribe, Return of the Crusader. This is about, guess who? The NZ Scribe. And it is billed as a no-hold-barred look at his life, talking about his childhood and drugs and domestic violence, rehab, and, of course, being a musician. Let's check that out for Friday, and maybe we can swap notes on that when I talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Always interested to learn a bit more about Scribe. I'd love to chat to him one day on the show. I've never had the opportunity to speak to him, but man, what a legend, you know? Fairly seminal character.
Yeah, indeed. I think it's really easy to forget in our kind of current landscape just how ridiculously enormous his explosion onto New Zealand musical culture was. It was like nothing else before.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, we'll check that out this weekend, and we can talk about that next week.
Legend. Awesome, Steve. Thank you very much, mate.
Cool, man.
We'll see you next week.
Time.
Bye.
Real orchards use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.